On December 17, 1998, in West University Place, Texas, a young woman called the police from outside the house of a friend she worked with. She was worried about her. She told them that her friend, a prominent doctor at a nearby medical school, had failed to show up at work that morning.
We'll be on arriving on the scene.
Look, here they are.
According to her colleague, this was completely out of character. She had not responded to phone calls to the house all day, nor had she answered her door.
When we hung up, everything was fine. She said she'd see me tomorrow. Nothing out of the ordinary, and that was yesterday.
The colleague was sure that something was wrong.
It's just not like her to do this. I'm just very concerned about it.
The doors and windows of the house were locked. From the outside, everything seemed normal.
It's just not like her to miss an important thing on an important day.
The officers found that the garage door was unlocked. And inside, the door to the house, wide open. Jewelry on the floor suggested a robbery.
222, I'm going to need some bags of this.
Had been ransacked. The officers moved cautiously. An intruder could still be inside. The downstairs was clear. But a trail of clothes led to the second floor. In the master bedroom, they found the doctor. She had been brutally murdered.
222, let me have a supervisor and a crime scene unit to the scene.
Detective Kenneth Maha responded to the scene. Though a 10-year veteran of the department, he was surprised by the report of a homicide.
West University Place, just a small little suburb, 2.2 square miles, right in the middle of Houston, largely residential and an affluent community. And the last time we had a murder was in 1985 during a robbery of a pharmacy.
The brutality of the crime struck the detective.
Blood spatter was all over the place, in the hallway and on the walls and the door. The body was completely covered except for one arm sticking out and her two legs. There was a large butcher knife that was near the body, laying on a pillow.
Investigators also recovered a heavy, blood-spattered, blunt object nearby. Both were weapons of opportunity the killer found in the house. Police contacted the doctor's husband and learned he had taken the couple's two children out of town to visit relatives before Christmas. They'd been gone for several days.
The victim had work obligations to take care of that wife, so she was not able to travel with him.
Take a look at this over here.
Evidence suggested that the killer had taken his time in the house. He tore open Christmas gifts and rummaged through the victim's belongings.
The contents of her purse were spilled out, and her driver's license was clearly left out and displayed. It was It was quite strange to see it like that.
In the kitchen, the detective found partially eaten fruit. Possibly more evidence the killer had lingered in the house. He also found the keys to the victim's Jeep. According to the doctor's husband, it was the only set. In the garage, there were no foreign fingerprints at the suspected point of entry. But on a workbench, investigators found the broken cover of a steering column next to some pry tools. The killer must have stolen the victim's Jeep.
We surmised then that he had to break the steering column of the Jeep to actually crank it up and to start it.
Here, the murderer made a crucial mistake.
When I picked up the large piece of the steering column, I could visibly see fingerprints on the shiny black plastic.
The column cover was bagged for later analysis at the lab. At autopsy, the medical examiner determined cause of death. Multiple stab wounds and blunt force trauma to the head. The victim had been sexually assaulted